God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today. From God our Father and from the Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to start today with a word with you from Habakkuk. Can you say that? Habakkuk? Yeah. Can you spell Habakkuk? That's the real question. Beginning at verses 1 through 4. We read from Habakkuk beginning at verse 5, but let's take a look at the beginning verses. And then verse 13, where Habakkuk says, "The oracle of God which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and thou wilt not hear? Or cry to thee, violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou make me see wrongs and look upon trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is slacked, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted." And then he asks the question of all questions in verse 13. Speaking to God, he says, "Thou who art of pure eyes, then to behold evil, and canst not look on wrong, why dost thou look on faithless men, and art silent when the wicked man swallows up the man more righteous than he?" He's asking one of the greatest questions of all time. Where is God when injustice seems to prevail upon the earth instead of justice? And you see things in the world all around us that may just vex your soul. In fact, Peter, in his letter in speaking of Lot in the Old Testament, he says, when Lot was in Sodom before it was destroyed, he said he was vexed in his righteous soul day after day for the lawless deeds that he saw around him. And he might have asked the same question that we ask. Where is God in the world when you see things like 9/11 and wars and rumors of wars and tsunamis and earthquakes and pestilences and disease and all these things, and it can really just deflate us, right? Well, I was not sure whether to really share this illustration because this is a very serious sermon, but I did have this left over from Sunday. The balloon. And I think, just as an illustration for you, we come to church on Sunday and we read the scriptures each day and pray so that we might be inflated. That is, be filled with courage and strength and calm and peace of mind. And so this is how we want to be. You know, filled with the Holy Spirit, the breath of wind from heaven. But it seems sometimes when we look at the world and we read the news headlines, we just go a little bit at a time until finally we just kind of go out because it can be just terrible. And I was looking at Fox News headlines this morning in preparation for this, and I saw this, just the headlines that you read. New York Governor Elliot Spitzer may resign today. Allegations surface that he spent $80,000 on high-priced prostitutes over the course of the years. Mideast commander critical of U.S.-Iran policy resigns. Mom on trial for leaving child in car for just minutes. School janitor charged with raping 10-year-olds. Firefighter dies after contracting brain-eating amoeba. Teacher resigns after violent lesson caught on tape. Man pleads guilty to filming sex with young kids. L.A. gangster charged in death of football star. Questionable murder charge in Virginia. And then to top it all off, Mary Ann from Gilligan's Island. You know, sweet old Kansas girl is now arrested on charges of marijuana possession. Mary Ann, I mean, come on. And you look at all these things in the world and you just get deflated. And you ask the same question that Habakkuk asked. Say, if you are of purer eyes than God, than to look on evil, and you cannot look on wrong, why are you silent when all this is going on? And it can get us really upset in our faith. And we can, because, as Jesus said in the gospel lesson for today, because iniquity is multiplied in the world, most men's love will grow cold. My question for you today, though, are you going to be deflated? Is your love going to grow cold? Is your faith going to lose its strength because of all this stuff you see every day? Or will you stand strong? Your heart aflame with love. Your faith actually strengthened when you read something like this. And just a little insight into your pastor. I used to read Fox News every day. I'm now starting to just go to other networks and none at all. Because I just can't, it's hard to take. But we're talking today about God strengthening us to live in such a world as this. Where is he? Well, I think God, that is Jesus, gives us some awesome words today in the gospel, where he's talking about the end of the world. And the first thing I want you to know today is God strengthens you because he tells you ahead of time to prepare for all these things in advance. So in other words, when they start happening all around you, and you see them on the news, here, this way, and that way, and all around you, you're simply saying, wait a second, God told me this ahead of time. My faith is not weakened, it's actually strengthened, because this is precisely what God told me would come to pass. And now that I see it coming to pass, I know his word is ever more sure. And let's listen about some of the things Jesus prepares us for. They say, what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? Jesus answered, take heed that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and they'll lead many astray. In other words, there are many multitudes of false teachers out there in the world today. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, such as World War I, World War II, wars in Iraq, etc. But then I love this. He says, see that you are not alarmed. You know, when we hear of things like this and we see things like this in the news, the Savior's word to his saints is, don't be alarmed by these things. And that word in the Greek also means don't be terrified. Don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled by these things. For these things must take place. He's preparing you ahead of time, saying, I've given you the news headlines centuries and millennia in advance. When they come, don't let them surprise you. In fact, let them encourage your faith, because I've told you ahead of time they're going to come. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We see that all the time. And all this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And then, at the very end of this, where do the vultures come in, right? You might have heard the beginning of the service, vulture reveals a coming Savior. What on earth is that about? And that's your question, that was my question when I started looking at this sermon. How do you get good news out of vultures? Well, it says, just find that exact verse here. It says, lo, I have told you all this beforehand. So if they say to you, lo, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east, shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will be gathered together. Wow, what is that about? Vultures. Did you wake up this morning and want to come to the service and hear about vultures and corpses? How can I encourage you by this? Well, the encouragement is that these vultures, when they come, are coming to bring God's justice to the world. In fact, God brings the justice and the vultures clean up the mess, as is spoken of in Revelation chapter 19, where you see this. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. Who's this? Jesus. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Then it says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun with a loud voice. He called to all the birds that fly in mid-heaven, come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both slave and free, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who sits upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who worked the signs by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword of him who sits upon the horse, the sword that issues from his mouth, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh." So, what are we talking about here? Remember the old westerns? When you would see maybe John Wayne riding through the mesas and the back no fenced in country, and they would be able to say, "Yeah, there's a battle taking place over there." Well, how'd you know? You can see the vultures gathered, circling overhead because of the great battle that's taking place, and they're waiting for the dead to come. And what then do the vultures reveal to us is that the Savior has promised to come and destroy all manner of wickedness and evil in the world and bring righteousness to us. And so while we live in the midst of the world that is full of terrible injustices and plagues and earthquakes and all these kinds of things, God has told you these things ahead of time so that you won't be alarmed. You'll actually be encouraged because his word is coming true, and it's pointing you to a salvation on a day soon to come when he will bring his justice to the earth. So are you with me? That's number one. But secondly, in the midst of a world that is full of all these kinds of things, these evils that are around us, God has promised to take care of us. For example, he says in Psalm 91, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked." And so when you see things like this in the news that would deflate you and you feel perhaps terrified and alarmed, God has said to you, it shall not come near you. It shall not touch your tent. And even if you are harmed in this world in some way, God has promised to save you perfectly. Just as he did in the days of the Passover in Exodus 12, when he slew the Egyptians, it says, "For the Lord will pass through to slay the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over your door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to slay you." And so when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and you think of the coming of the vultures that are circling sort of invisibly over the world, gathering for the great day of the Lord Almighty when he comes to destroy all wickedness, you can look at this and say, but in Christ it shall not come near me. God is going to see me perfectly, safely through this. And in fact, under the shelter of his wings, the eagle, God, I shall be safe. And then finally, not only has God told you these things ahead of time, not only has he promised to be with you and keep you safe in the midst of a world like this, but also God has promised you, after the storm clouds are passed and the flash of lightning of the sun comes, the Son of God, there will be a marvelous end for you. And sometimes, you know, when I run a race, I, even just by myself on a weekday, I get tired during the race. I'm timing myself. I don't like running. I don't like the pain of it. But then I keep in my mind's eye the end of the road and the joyful rest at the end, and that keeps me going. And what is the joyful rest prepared for you? Let's read this from Daniel chapter 12, speaking of the last days. "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book," that is, the book of life of the Lamb, "and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." So, you're all looking at me right now. I just want you to be able to look at this vision, though, that God has laid before you. Because when you see all these storm clouds out there, and that is what they are, God has told you ahead of time, but at the end of it, there is a brand new bright blue sky. And God has promised in Daniel, you will shine like the stars in heaven. And in Matthew, he says, then the sons of God shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So God has promised us a great and a glorious end. And as Peter says, but according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. No more newspapers like this. Nothing more to deflate you. And so keep that in your mind as you read these things, knowing that it's only for a short time. But in a very few days, the Lord himself will bring an eternity for you that will be beautiful. And as the vultures gather over some who are under judgment, Malachi 4 says, and I conclude with these words, and God says to you, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Amen.